Well, hello, children. Welcome to Spring Branch Academy, where we are seeking to instill wisdom and inspire worship to the glory of God in every student. We are looking at creation, the doctrine of creation. God created the world by fiat, ex nihilo. There are three events that caution us from extrapolating the present to the past: the fiat, the fall, and the flood. The flood tells us that catastrophism may be the better way to explain the history of the earth than uniformitarianism. Those are big words, but it just means that a catastrophe happened. Well, we know one big one, the flood, and it tells us there'll be another big one at the end of the age when Jesus comes back, but it won't be with water, it will be with fire. Some people say that God created by evolution, and I don't believe that. And my responses to that is, number one, the Bible says God created everything in 6 days. That's even in the Ten Commandments. And also, an even perhaps stronger reason, because it pertains to what evolution is, the claim that new species or animals came about from a lot of dying. Well, death entered the world, the Bible says, through sin. It's because of man that there is death and the curse that's on creation. So there couldn't have been death before there was man. And so man, then, cannot be the end of a long process of animals dying. That's Romans 5, verse 12. Nouns and pronouns, verbs and adverbs, adjectives and interjections, prepositions and conjunctions. We've looked at nouns and even proper nouns. We've looked at pronouns and personal pronouns, like first person singular. And we've done a lot of work with verbs, transitive and intransitive, whether it takes an object or doesn't. The be verbs, like am and was and is. And the linking verbs that can replace them. The five properties of a noun, like first person singular, present active indicative. Our example is that one right there. We've looked at auxiliary verbs, ones that do the helping, the coulda, woulda, shoulda stuff. And we've looked at the principal parts of a verb, the present tense, the past tense, the present participle, and the past participle. Today, your word is adverb. It modifies a verb, almost like you add it to a verb. It explains how, or when, or where. That's an adverb. How, when, where. In the scriptures, we're memorizing verses today from Joshua and Judges. Joshua 1:9, in the English Standard Version, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then Joshua, at the end of the book, called the people to account. "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. And then at the end of Judges, more than once it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Judges 17:6, also Judges 21:25. So here are those verses again. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's why they needed a government, a king, because they were evil and did what they thought was right. Can you imagine what it would be like to let a room of preschoolers go without any parent? That's what it'd be like on a large scale if we had no government. It would be fighting all over the place, like before the flood. Our bonus passage is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My shepherd is the Lord. What need shall be ignored? With grassy fields and waters still, my soul shall be restored. Jehovah treats me right. What shadow shall affright? I will not fear, for you are near, with rod and staff at night. He treats me as his guest. What foe shall steal my rest? The table's set, my hair is kept, my cup is fully blessed. God's love and goodness last, the bounds of time surpassed. His temple throne shall be my home when history is past. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart is glad. When your lips speak right, how glad is your dad? Do not envy sinners, but always fear the Lord. Soon you'll be a winner. Your hope has its reward. Envy is a terrible thing, students, even when it's done and somebody's doing well. But you definitely don't want to envy the wicked. They're going to end up in hell. Well, we have three properties of addition and multiplication. We have commutative, where you can switch the order, associative, where you can group them differently, and the distributive rule property, where you multiply each term by what's on the outside. We have the five operations: addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and exponentiation, exponents. And we covered what they're called last week, each part, but we didn't cover exponents. The number on the bottom is the base, because it's on the bottom. And the number up top is the power, or the exponent. And we say that number is raised to the power of whatever that number is. The order of operations for years have been learned by "Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally." Please is like parentheses, and it could be brackets and such. Parentheses is the P. Excuse is exponents. M and D, my dear, is multiplication and division. And Aunt and Sally is addition and subtraction. So you do it in that order. Parentheses, exponents, multiplication and division, addition and subtraction. If all you have are multiplication and division, or all you have is addition and subtraction, then just do it from the left to the right. What is the taxonomy, students, in biology? King Philip cried out, "Find good sausages." And the five kingdoms? You know them, don't you? And then all those animals, the mammals, and the reptiles, and the amphibians, all those down to then the kinds of plants, the vascular, non-vascular, and the kinds of trees, the coniferous and the deciduous trees. Today we're learning cellular processes. Metabolism is building energy or or actually breaking down materials to make energy or to build up materials. It's a big name for just process of breaking down and building up to gain energy or gain materials. Photosynthesis is building sugars from light and what is in the air. Plants do that, and the sugar's name is glucose. Glycolysis is when you break down sugar. Again, breaking down the glucose comes from a Greek word of leucis, from luo. And so, breaking down the sugar for energy. It's what the plants basically live on, and glucose is the simplest sugar. Decomposition is decaying or rotting. And my two favorites of all these, mitosis and meiosis. Mitosis is when cells divide and keep all their genetic information intact. In other words, it's when cells divide and grow, and an organism grows, like you're growing right now. Where meiosis, that's when half of the genetic information is there, so it can match another half from another creature. And so this is in mating. When a man and a woman come together, or a male and a female organism come together, and then you get a brand new baby. So half of the information is in each cell. Something like that. They call them gametes and things, fancy names, but I like the words mitosis and meiosis. A covenant is a promise on oath sealed in blood. Say that. A covenant is a promise on oath sealed in blood. An oath is, my word is as true as God exists. And to be sealed in blood is to offer a sacrifice. And of course, Jesus said regarding the cup of communion, this is the new covenant in my blood. God has made at least 6 major covenants in the Bible. With Adam at creation, though it's not as clear in Genesis 1 and 2, it seems clear in other passages or implied. There's definitely a covenant with Noah when God establishes his covenant. And so it seems like the Noahic covenant matches the Adamic covenant. The two go together as creation and then recreating. With Abraham in 2000 BC, we have the promise of land and seed. And then with Moses, the law is added. Abraham's covenant is absolutely sure, but the time of its fulfillment depends on Abraham's seed. If they obey, they will stay, that is, in the land. Now David, he's promised a throne and seed in 1000 BC. And so Abraham is land and seed, David is throne and seed, and the Davidic covenant is also certain. But the time of its fulfillment depends on his seed. If they obey, they will stay on the throne. Christ brings the new covenant. He is the son of David, the son of Abraham, as the first verse of the New Testament says. And in his covenant, the law is no longer on stone, but written on our hearts. And no longer is God known by a few. He is known by everyone in the covenant, from the least to the greatest. To know God and to have a changed heart is the essence of the new covenant. And it's all based on a permanent forgiveness of sins due to what Jesus did on the cross when he died in our place. Then the son of Abraham obeyed. Then the son of David obeyed. He died for the sins of the people, and he rises to give them eternal life. Hallelujah. Truly, children, hallelujah means praise the Lord. Well, we have a new verse in our Bible timeline today. Joshua, Caleb, a new generation. Jericho, Rahab, and Ai, and Achan. Canaan defeated, then Canaan divided. No king in Israel to keep them united. Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, and Barak Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson so low. The judges go bad, the people more so. And what happened to Rahab and Achan at Jericho? Well, the harlot, Rahab, was saved, but Achan the Jew died. A man and a woman, a Jew and a pagan, two sides of Jericho, Rahab and Achan. She hid the spies and saved all her house. He hid the goods and lost all his house. There's safety in war and danger at home. The harlot was saved, the Israelites stoned. Whoever loves God with God will inherit, but cherish the world, and with the world you'll perish. Children, that's 1 John chapter 2. Whoever loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. And Achan was tested and his heart revealed. He loved this world. So did Elisha's servant Gehazi, who chased after the Syrian Naaman to grab some of the goods that Elisha the prophet didn't want. And so we see a pattern that there can be a holy man, and underneath that holy man, right in the midst, like a Judas Iscariot, is somebody who loves this present world. We should love God and love his kingdom. This world is passing away quickly. God has so much better in store for us. And so believe when he promises, and believe the greatness of the kingdom, and with joy, give your life away, knowing that Jesus, your shepherd, will take the best care of you, and you'll live in his house forever. So God bless you, children. Thanks for being a part of this lesson today. Amen.